Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is Wednesday, April 1st. It is 10 a.m. Eastern. We are recording this, and we have some games to talk about tonight, although a lot of them do feature some of the tanking teams. But we have some picks no matter what, and there is a couple of good games on the card, so we still have a little bit to dive into. And then also, I'm going to talk about the Most Improved Player Award, which is something that I got a tweet about over at Betting on X, where you can follow me on Twitter. So if you ever have some questions, feel free to reach out and ask me to talk about something. I'm happy to answer and, you know, see what we could dive into when we're looking at some of these betting markets. So yeah, you know, never hesitate to reach out to me. I'm always trying to be approachable. And for that matter, please give us a subscribe if you can on the YouTube page, or else whatever you can do, like, comment, subscribe, rate, over on Apple or Spotify. We would appreciate that very much. But let's get into the games for this evening. Last night was a really rough night for me. Apologize if anybody tailed those picks, but we will get back in the win column. We were, you know, doing pretty well the days before, so I'm confident that it was just a one-day blip. So let's see what we can do, and we will start with the tanking games, because there are so many of them. I just want to get them out of the way. It's a bummer when you have a night like last night where there's like five games between playoff teams, and then tonight there's really only two or three. I mean, I'm not even going to count the Spurs-Warriors game, which I'll talk about at the end of this, because there's still no Steph Curry for Golden State. So that Golden State team is definitely not playing like a playoff team. But yeah, tonight, 76ers-Wizards, Knicks-Grizzlies, Kings-Raptors, Pacers-Bulls, Bucks-Rockets, Nuggets-Jazz. It's a mouthful. It's a lot of bad games. I would not wish watching that game on anyone. I would try to stay away unless you have some player props or you're scouting some of these young players on your teams. Like, you know, if you're Utah, there's definitely something to watch right now, because Ace Bailey's playing great. Cody Williams is starting to find his game. Like, I understand it, but there are better games to watch and other sports to watch. So I would not watch some of these terrible games, but I do have a parlay for the tanking teams tonight. Not anything that I've been doing over the last couple of days. I've been kind of letting these go, but for this evening, I am going to go 76ers over the Wizards, Knicks over the Grizzlies, Raptors over the Kings, Rockets over the Bucks, Nuggets over the Jazz. And then, like I said before, no Steph Curry tonight. I'm going to go Spurs over the Warriors to get a better price on this. So it's minus 149 with these six teams. Not the greatest odds, but I do really think all these teams will win, even though there are some poor rest situations in there. You know, teams coming off of second legs of back-to-back. So not perfect, but I really do think that all six of these teams will win. And let's talk about that San Antonio-Golden State game now, because like I said, it's not the greatest game in the world. Steph Curry did practice yesterday, went through a scrimmage, but apparently he's set to miss the next two games for the Warriors. So they're expecting him maybe to come back this weekend. Everything, it sounds like, looked good when he practiced, but they want to see how he recovers. I think they want to see him get out on the court again. And without Steph, it's just a really tall order for Golden State to beat the San Antonio team. The Warriors have been pretty good defensively without Steph, but the offense is just kind of what comes and goes, very inconsistent. You really never know what you're going to get. And that just, you know, is what happens when you have a team where you're like relying on Brandon Pajemski as your lead guard. There's just not a lot of shot making talent out there. And this Spurs team is, you know, a top five team in the league when you're looking at both, you know, adjusted defensive rating and adjusted offensive rating. So I think San Antonio is just too focused, too locked in to lose a game like this in Golden State, which is why I'm willing to throw the Spurs into this parlay, even though this game does not fit the profile of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks with the Tankapalooza parlays, with, you know, whatever we're calling it, the brain dead parlay, the Gil Alexander special, whatever it is. It's minus 149 for these six teams. The one game that I listed earlier that I'm leaving out here is Pacers Bulls. Those are two tanking teams. I have no idea what's going to happen in those games. I do think that maybe Chicago would be the way I'd be looking if I'm talking about a side or a total, just because I do think the Bulls playing at home, they have been the team probably the most of all these tanking teams that have shown some type of effort on a nightly basis. And Billy Donovan rumored to be in the mix for that UNC job, still getting his team to play hard. So if I had to take something there, I'd go Chicago, but I don't feel good enough about anything in that game to throw it into a parlay. And I think that there's a chance I revisit some of these games a little bit later over on VSiN.com, as I have been every single day looking for player props a little bit later in the day when there's more numbers available from different sources. Like I mentioned yesterday on Hardwood Handicappers, that I have been comparing lines and totals in the U.S. to what we're seeing in Pinnacle, because I do think that's a really good way to potentially find value, and have found it to be something that has been profitable for me over the last couple of weeks, even in, you know, a cold couple of weeks. So it's something that I want to go to more. So maybe there will be some props from this, you know, group of six games that you're not getting from me right now. But head over to VSiN.com if you are a VSiN pro. Check out my articles. Maybe I will add something there. Have been adding plays late, you know, pretty regularly lately. All right, on to a game that actually matters. The Hawks going to Orlando and taking on the Magic. This game tips at 7:10 p.m. Eastern. The Hawks are 4.5-point road favorites. Total is 232.5. And this is a game where I really only have leans for you, and I'll tell you why. I do like the Hawks -4 or -4.5, whatever you can find. Also kind of like the under in this game, under 232.5, given that both of these teams really do think of themselves as defensive-minded teams, even though Atlanta does play at a fast pace. But the stronger lean for me would be Atlanta, and the reason I'm not playing anything here is because I already have a pretty big play on the Hawks to make the playoffs. Also have, you know, the Hawks at +550 to win the Southeast Division, and this is a really big game in the Southeast Division. I mean, if you look at the standings, Atlanta is, I believe, 2.5 games up on this Orlando team in the Southeast, meaning that this is a game where, with such little time left in the season, they can really kind of stick the knife in the Magic's back and really put a dagger in there. They're 43-33, Magic 40-35. Like I said, six games left to play for the Hawks. If they could go up and win this game in Orlando, that really will go a long way towards potentially just clinching this bet for anybody that tailed me on it. And this is one of the bigger ones I have of the season now, with the payout being so big. And, you know, it was such a short period of time that we were asking for this type of payout. So ended up being a really good value play, regardless of whether or not it wins. But this is a really big one for that play. So I don't want to have any added stakes in Atlanta. But the reason I do like the Hawks, it's pretty simple. I mean, this is the second leg of a back-to-back for the Magic. Last night, they played a really tight game against Phoenix. Of course, I had the Suns in that game. Didn't end up going their way. But Orlando had Jalen Suggs play 38 minutes in that game. Paolo Banchero and Desmond Bane both played 37. This feels like a game where they're going to be fatigued, whereas Atlanta has not played since Monday. That was not the second leg of a back-to-back or anything. They had previously played Saturday. So this Hawks team has some fresh legs, and the Hawks have just been a way better team than the Magic over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I keep using post All-Star break splits now because I just think that that's the cleanest way to kind of break up the season at this point. And since the All-Star break, Atlanta is 17-3 with a net rating of +10.5. Orlando 12-10 with a net rating of +1.5. So 9 points or whatever points per 100 possessions separates these two. That's a pretty big margin. Also, these teams met in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, and the Hawks won by 12, despite losing the fourth quarter where they kind of took their foot off the gas. It was a blowout for three quarters, and Atlanta still held on to win by double digits. Don't exactly think that was a fluke. I mean, you can say that Nikhil Alexander-Walker, his cousin, had 41 points in that game, probably won't do it again, but you might get a better performance from like a CJ McCollum, who didn't shoot all that well in that game. And I know that home court advantage will do something for Orlando, will help them out there, but I don't think it's going to make up the difference this much. I do think this is a game that the Hawks, who are just playing some great defensive basketball, have been playing much better offensively than you'd think, will win by 5 or more points. So I'm trusting in Atlanta in my long-term futures play, and I believe that if you do not have that play, if you didn't tail it, you should trust in Atlanta tonight, or you could throw Atlanta money line in a parlay or something. Whatever you want to do, I do think that the Hawks go into Orlando and win this game against a Magic team that was kind of flailing before last night's win and now has to deal with fatigue. If you're looking to sharpen your edge the remainder of the NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to go. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of the subscription options. I keep saying I love the $9.99 offer. It gives you, a full month to check out what we're doing over on the website, vsin.com, and on our network where we have, 24/7 sports betting shows where we talk about every single sport. Really, really good product. I absolutely love watching our station. I have it on in the background all day. I think that anybody that loves sports as much as I do, would really enjoy having it as an option. I mean, there's really not much like it out there in the space anymore. I mean, I used to be a kid that would go home after school and watch ESPN religiously. Still like ESPN because of all the games that they have on, but there are not as many shows that captivate you the way that the VSiN shows will. So strongly suggest checking out our on-air product, which you can find on the YouTube TV Sports Plus package or over on our website or on our VSiN Watch app. There's just a few different ways to do it. Definitely would suggest checking us out. But then, so much stuff over at VSiN.com, including my NBA plays, my MLB plays, my tennis plays, but also all of the work from my, talented colleagues who are handling every single sport that I'm not touching. Let's move on to another game. This is the last game that I actually want to talk about for this evening before getting into a Most Improved Player Award, which I think is shaping up to be very interesting the rest of the season. The last game that I want to talk about, Celtics at Heat, 7:30 p.m. Eastern tip. This is a game where Boston is a 4.5-point road favorite. Total's 228.5. And once again, I would be leaning with the road favorite in this game. I think that I would trust the Celtics to win by 5+ more than I would trust the Heat to keep this game from being, not a blowout, but not exactly close. I just think that what we've seen from Miami over the course of the season is that they've tried to change their playing style and go a little bit faster and be a more dynamic offensive team, but the results are pretty much the same as what we've seen over the last couple of years with this core, where it's, a borderline 500 team that maybe they will win a few games in a playoff series against a better team in the Eastern Conference, but don't see them winning multiple playoff series and don't see this core being good enough for Miami to invest in long term. And meanwhile, Boston is playing some awesome basketball over the last couple of weeks. So I really do think that the Celtics should find a way to take care of business here. But the play that I made in this game, and the only play I'm going to have in this game, unless I add another player prop, is Jason Tatum over 22.5 points at -112. This is as high as 23.5 at one other shop. Also, I saw it at 24.5 on some prediction markets. So this is a pretty low number if you can find it. And Tatum is averaging 29 points per game over the last two games. There is some added context that needs to be added there with Jaylen Brown having not played in those two games. When Brown is out, Tatum has a usage rate of 36.8%, which is outrageously high. When Brown is in, that goes all the way down to 28.3%. Still high, but not nearly as high. But it is a situation where I feel like Tatum just kind of found his scoring groove. And even with Brown coming in, taking away a lot of the on-ball reps, I would expect Tatum to continue to play well as a scorer, especially in this matchup, which, for the last few weeks now, and honestly all season, I've been saying that I do enjoy attacking from a player prop angle because this is a Heat team that is top 10 in the league in adjusted defensive rating, and they have a strong reputation for what they can do defensively. But I do think that's a little misleading when you're talking about players going out and putting up numbers against them, because this team plays at the number one pace in the NBA. 104.5 is the number. Chicago's number two. And there's just a few extra possessions in every single Miami game. The team likes to play fast. That allows the other team to get out and get some easy buckets. And Tatum, with his size, with his ability to finish, even though he's not as explosive as he was before the Achilles surgery, this is still a player that can do some damage in transition. And then some of the numbers that I like to point out when talking about Miami, they're just 26th in the NBA defending pull-up jumpers. That's something that I think every coach in the league would sign up for. You want your opponent taking tough pull-up twos and, long twos. Like, these are the types of shots that analytically, you're okay with giving up. But Jason Tatum is a very good pull-up jump shooter, scores 51% of his points on pull-up jumpers, and I do think that he's going to find some success getting to his spots and knocking down shots against this Heat defense. Also, Miami, just 25th in the NBA guarding in isolation. good luck guarding Tatum in isolation. 16th in the league defending pick and roll ball handlers. Tatum has been running, you know, a decent amount of pick and rolls, and 17th guarding in transition, which I said before. If they're getting out and running the Celtics and Tatum's getting the ball in, you know, fast break situations or even, you know, 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, he can go and explode and finish at the rim, even though he's not the athlete that he was a year ago. I still think this is a really good athlete and finisher, and I think we're going to continue to see him get better as the playoffs approach. And like I said, I think that the last two games where he scored, what, 31 and 27 will end up being a big step in the right direction for him. Sorry, it was 32 and 26, but this is a player that I do think is starting to find his game and starting to find his confidence. And I think that Brown is going to be good about getting him his touches and allowing him to build on that, because Brown is a player that, while he is enjoying a great individual season and probably enjoying all the, you know, attention, positive attention that comes with that, I do think this is a player that wants to win, and his best chance of winning this year is getting Tatum up to speed and playing like, not even like either one of these guys is Batman. It's like two Batmans, no Robin. But that is what he needs to happen. He needs Tatum to be Jason Tatum in order for this team to do what they want to do, which, you know, before the season did not seem possible. Now, all of a sudden, with the Eastern Conference being a little watered down, windows open for Boston to get to the finals. And we saw this team take care of business against OKC pretty easily the other day, so, or maybe a week ago at this point, but they have to believe that they can win the NBA title. And yeah, it's up to Brown to make Tatum feel comfortable on this team. All right. That's all for the games for tonight, but I do want to talk about the Most Improved Player Award, because I got a tweet yesterday asking for my thoughts on it and haven't talked much about it outside of maybe when I've had Kelly Bibblin on. And I do believe Kelly's going to be joining me tomorrow, although I've been wrong announcing these dates with these guys every single week. But I do believe Kelly wants to do the Thursday show, so hopefully we'll have him on tomorrow. We'll talk about some award stuff. But Most Improved Player, it is pretty fascinating right now, because I think that for the longest time, I would have just been really upset and argued that it was Keontae George. Still think that it was Keontae George in, you know, a literal sense of like who was the most improved player in the league. Think it was Keontae George, but that does not matter anymore. You have to reach 65 games. You have to satisfy the voters and what they're looking for. And that has been historically, like recently, a leap into like being a very good player, not being a fringe rotation player the year before and turning into a good rotation player, which is what George did, but I think took it a step further. But like, it's been the guys like Tyrese Maxey and Cade Cunningham who have become stars. And I don't think that there's a player like that this year. But right now, the market says that Nickeil Alexander-Walker is the favorite. And that means that he has jumped Jalen Duren, who has been the favorite over the last couple of weeks. And maybe it's rightfully so. So here's what Na has done since the start of March. 22.7 points per game, 3.9 assists per game, 1.7 steals per game, and the shooting splits are absolutely insane. 52.8% from the floor, 46.8% from three, and 94.2% from the free throw line. He has just been on fire for an Atlanta team that I just said has been surging, 17-3 since the All-Star break. All of a sudden looking like a dangerous team in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And the analytics, like the advanced metrics, do tell a pretty strong story for Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who has a career high 1.8 estimated plus minus this year and 1.9 offensive estimated plus minus. Also career high in estimated wins added at 8.0. That's in the 95th percentile of the NBA. All of these numbers are way up from where he was in Minnesota. And I think that for the longest time this season, I was a little bit hesitant to put Alexander Walker where he belonged on this list, because I don't believe that you're that improved if what changed is that you went from a smaller role into a much bigger role. Like Alexander Walker went from being the sixth man for Minnesota to a starter for Atlanta. And outside of that, like, I just think he's kind of the same player with more responsibility. But in March, you did see a different player offensively and an improved player offensively. So wouldn't really have a problem with him winning the award. Now, the question that I have is, would you feel comfortable betting this guy at the current number? So like, we'll use DraftKings odds right now, where Most Improved Player, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, -105, Jalen Duren, +100. That to me, those, it's reflective of what the market is. It's maybe reflective of what the voters think. Maybe this is the current 1-2 in the, you know, most improved player like running, but I wouldn't take either of these players at the current prices. I'd actually look a little bit further down at Kelly Bidlin's guy, Denny Avdia, who is available at 20-1, not at DraftKings, but elsewhere. I was just looking it up before I started doing the show. So if that changed, I'd be very surprised. But there was still a 17-1 elsewhere. So you could get a better number than the 12-1 I'm seeing at DraftKings. But either way, you could get a much better price on Denny, who I believe has made the most similar leap to the ones that we've seen over the last couple of years turn into winners in this market. I think that Denny has gone from a really good player to an all-star. And I think that he's done it for a Portland team that, you know, is in the play-in picture right now in the Western Conference, has been much better this season than they were last season. And Avdija, really the only concern with him is, will he reach the game minimum? But he's played 61 games now. There's five games left. He needs to play, what, 44 of the next five games? Maybe five if he's played less than 20 minutes in any of those games. So haven't checked that closely, but there's no back-to-backs the remainder of the season for Portland. So no situation where like Denny's back, which has given him problems this year, would be like flaring up from playing the night before. This is a good rest, you know, schedule for him the rest of the way. As long as he plays the minimum, I think there's still a really good chance he wins just because of the numbers that he is putting up, which, like I said, like this is an all-star this season and somebody that has been carrying this Blazers team. And now on the season, he's at 23.9 points, 7.0 rebounds, 6.7 assists. And the shooting splits are pretty good for a number one. I mean, 46% from the floor, 31.8% from three could be better, 79.9% from the line is good. I just think that he's the best actual player when you're looking at the players that are in the running here. And there has been, you know, an improvement from last season, even though this leap did start, you know, kind of towards the second half of last year. But he's up from 16.9 points per game to 23.9, 7-point improvement there, 3.9 assists to 6.7 assists. The only place he's down from last year really is in rebounds, where he was at 7.3 last year. He's at 7.0 now. But, you know, part of that comes with adding on-ball responsibility and just not being able to do as much dirty work. But I think that we've seen a really strong season from Denny. And I just think that the numbers we're seeing right now, I think that the top two guys, while they might be the top two guys in the most improved player award running, like I said before, I just don't think that they're worthy of bets at this moment. I think that Avdija at 20-1 is actually worth a flyer. And it's something that I'm going to put in right after we're done recording this. So this is going to be a play for me. I'll make it official once I add it. I'll throw it in one of my articles for today. But I do think it's a really interesting market. We'll get into some of the other ones maybe tomorrow with Kelly. Otherwise, I'll do it on Friday. But some of the other ones that are open right now, I'll do a deep dive on them. But for today, hopefully this was helpful. I mean, I do understand that like it's tough hearing that the top two players in a market might not be worthy of bets, but it happens. Sometimes you miss the boat. I missed the boat with both Alexander Walker and Durin. And I just think that you have to look for value elsewhere now. And I think that the value is in Avdija. Before we recap our best bets for tonight, I wanted to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, running through what we had for tonight. This is going to be a long one to read, but Wednesday night best bet starts with the parlay, where I'm avoiding the tanking teams and fading the Warriors in the late game. 76ers money line versus the Wizards, Knicks money line versus the Grizzlies, Raptors money line versus the Kings, Rockets money line versus the Bucks, Nuggets money line versus the Jazz, and then, like I said, Spurs money line versus the Warriors. This is minus 149. Then Jason Tatum over 22.5 points at minus 112 versus the Heat. I will say again that I think I'm going to have some more added over on the website at vsin.com. So in a couple of hours, or maybe even right before tip, for some of these games, I'd say to head over there if you're interested in seeing what I have. to check out and see if I added some best bets. But like I said, I have been doing this pretty much on a daily basis because I have been waiting for the Pinnacle odds to show up. And it has been a little bit later than I have been recording this podcast. So it's been a couple of days in a row where I've added like two or three player props. Would love to add that many again tonight just because there are so many games. Don't really want to sit out the other games completely. I'm fine with having player props in the tanking games. It's trying to decide the winner and who's going to win by how much. That has been something I've been wanting to avoid since, you know, this stretch of the season has started, which, by the way, Tom Haverstraw, I believe it was, wrote a great piece on just kind of the differences between the two NBAs right now, where there's your League A with the competitors and then League B with your tanking teams, and just how different it is and how unique it is. I would definitely suggest checking that out. It's over, I believe, on Yahoo. But yeah, great writer and, you know, analytics guy that does some work for the Portland Trailblazers as well. But yeah, fascinating story. I would suggest checking it out. But make sure you join us for tomorrow's episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Best of luck if you are tailing me tonight. And if you enjoyed the show, as always, we appreciate some positive feedback, whether that's, you know, subscribing, liking, rating, commenting. We'll take all of it. But yeah, hopefully we get back in the green tonight after last night. And yeah, we'll see you tomorrow for Hardwood Handicappers.